Ramble.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bangarang! Welcome to Guilty Pleasures. Today we are talking about
Hook.
You got a whole song?
It's Bangarang.
Do it.
That's the song. Bangarang. Skrillex?
Skrillex.
Bangarang. That's what it's about.
Shame on me for not knowing. Shame on me.
Shame on you for not knowing culture.
I thought I was giving you like
up on my Skrillex
musical number underneath your cold open.
We're talking about the Steven Spielberg Robin Williams classic. This is a childhood staple. Look, if you grew up in the era of VHS tapes, you've seen Hook more times than you can count.
Hell,
it's just a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This movie is burned into my childhood subconscious. It's one of those movies I don't remember seeing. Mm-hmm. I just don't ever remember having seen it.
I never lived in a world where I hadn't seen Hook.
Yeah,
100%.
That's what I believe. And so today we are here to ask the brave, the possibly scary question. Does Hook hold up? We are revisiting a childhood favorite, and Carrick is going to jump on the mic to immediately say...
Absolutely,
it
does.
You, it's for even questioning
it. It is a fucking timeless movie. I saw that the Rotten Tomatoes score was 26.
What?
And I was like, okay.
Wait.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
Are you fucking kidding me?
I was like, there's no way in hell that Steven Spielberg would make something this poor.
He can't make a 26.
He can't make a 26. I was like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. You're comparing it to all his other bodies of work. And then I watched it and I was like, this should have been an 87 at least.
Yeah, I thought you were fucking with me when you said it had a 25.
No.
How is that possible?
So this movie was pretty slammed by critics when it came out. It was called Spielberg's lazier. It's considered by some to be his worst work, which is not true because 1948 exists. So fuck off. But yeah, it's a movie that I think is beloved by nostalgia and questioned by critics. So we're going to dive back in today and see what do we think?
I love that.
I'll set the stage and say that I had rewatched Hook in college and I was like, oh, I think I hate this. And I watched it again as an adult. And I said, you know what, Zach, you are a curmudgeon-y piece of shit.
Yeah.
This is delightful. There's a lot to love. It's a messy movie.
Yeah.
And we'll talk. It's not perfect. I think it's about 40 minutes too long.
Okay.
But there is so much to love. And the fucking pedigree in this movie, the care. So I'm here to shower praise.
Yes.
And then I will bring it down a notch when appropriate.
Okay. What's your experience with it?
Oh, I watch Hook constantly. Ace Ventura. Growing up. It was Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, which is the second one, the superior film.
Yes, we've established.
Hook and Toy Story. It was like a heavy rotation of those three. There's probably another one that or a couple others that I'm forgetting, like Jungle to Jungle or some shit like that.
Oh, classic.
Oh, my God. Love it.
But
yeah, truly.
You know what? Maybe we don't need
But like cute problematic.
Yeah, right. Just like back in the day, you know, people were 90s, from the jungle. Yeah. Who cares? So thinking back and seeing this movie, as I was watching it today, I was questioning, are movies getting worse?
Yes. Yes.
Are people not caring as much?
Yes.
To the point where this back then was a 26, whereas now it would be like,
sure,
people would lose their fucking minds for this movie.
And this is why, like, just because there's so much, like, I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
It is insulting to call this movie a 26 on Rotten Tomatoes because the production design is stunning. The performances. Dustin Hoffman is Captain Hook.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding
me?
He was
the Colin Farrell of Penguin Batman, too.
I could tell that was Dustin Hoffman.
What?
Cannot tell
that
was Colin Farrell.
Yeah, you're fucking out of your mind.
Yeah, I can It's how that does Dustin Hoffman.
No way.
100%.
But like, you're the performances are great. The love is great. Steven Spielberg, they called it, there was a review that called this Steven Spielberg on autopilot. And I'm sorry.
What?
If this is autopilot, put me on autopilot for the rest of my life.
Fucking life.
I just can't imagine what people negatively had to say about, like, what did critics actually,
because
Miles,
it's not
can
E.T.
you pull up in like
this
a negative
it's not
review?
E.T., right?
Yeah. I don't want to talk about E.T. That
this is how I feel
the
about.
Only trauma in my life.
Like, it's not just not E.T., but that's okay. Steven Spielberg, fucking listen.
Yeah.
The impact that this man had on my life and on movies, and I think that we all go like, yeah, no, okay, Zach's going to say Steven Spielberg is a great director. We know. Yeah, but do you know?
Yeah.
Have you, when's the last time that you sat your ass down and thought about how fucking good
Steven Spielberg
actually is? And do you know why he's so good? Do you feel it in your heart, in your mind, in your fucking loins?
Yeah.
Because that man with the camera, he will set one shot up and give you 8
10.
Compositions within a single shot, and you can turn the sound off and you know exactly what is happening in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn the sound on and you go, holy shit, I'm going to another planet. John Williams just fucking levitated my body.
Of course.
What a gift to the universe that man is.
This movie, for me, I had not seen it since I was probably like 6 or 5. I was 1 year old when this movie came out, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So like, truly guilty whores. If you have not seen Hook, you really need to watch it to appreciate. So pause this and go watch it. And then now we're back. Wow. Thank you for watching.
Or keep listening and we'll catch you up.
Like, it scared the fucking shit out of me as a kid.
Because of the beginning.
The villainry of what Hook represented, and the imagery of the tree houses and the food fight. Like, these are core fucking memories burned into my brain.
Yeah.
So much so, it was like so imaginative that when I watched it for the first time in 25 years today, I was on the edge of my couch, mouth open, in shock about how good this was. It was funny. I couldn't fucking believe
it's scary.
How scary
it's fucking
it
crazy.
Is.
Yeah.
And there, I only remember, we were talking off camera first, is like the, all I remember is the really fun, fantastical, playful stuff. But this is an entire movie about inner child work. Like, it is deep psychological cuts.
Which, OMG, where are my manners? Hi, guilty whores. Welcome to the podcast. Forgot to give you a little synopsis. If you haven't seen Hook, my apologies.
Yeah.
It stars Robin Williams as Peter, who's a lawyer. He's boring. He's all about work. He misses his son's baseball game. He's forgotten the joy of life. But it turns out Peter is Peter Pan.
Peter motherfucking
all
the Pan.
Grown up, and he forgot. He fucking forgot. So Captain Hook kidnaps his kids, played by the wonderful Dustin Hoffman.
Right.
You've got Snee as right-hand man, played by Bob Hoskins.
Oh,
Julia Roberts as Tinkerbell flies in, brings him back to Never Neverland, where he says, Peter, you got to learn how to be a kid again.
Yes.
And Peter has 3 days to train with the Lost Boys. Of course, we
got my Lost Boys.
Rufio in the
yes,
house.
Sir.
And fuck, man. There's a lot to talk about.
Wait, Miles, can you read a negative review? Because I truly can't fathom what they have negative to say about this.
I pulled up a few, and they're all the fuck over the place. But
give me a nasty
one. This one here is from David Anson of Newsweek.
Fuck
David
Anson.
A good half hour too long.
Yeah, I agree.
And badly in need of some scares.
What?
What are you talking about?
Hook is a huge party cake of a movie with too much frosting. After the first delicious bite, sugar shock sets in.
I love sugar. There's
Kelsey,
no
you
such
can't,
thing.
If you eat too much sugar, you literally get infections.
Yeah, Zach knows more about my pussy than my own lovers.
What?
Yeah.
Jesus.
He knows he'll see me with like a candy bar and he'll be like, put that down.
If you eat too much sugar, you get a yeast infection.
Yeah, I had to cut out sugar. I used to get chronic yeast infections. How do you not know this about me, Rick?
What do you mean, how do I not know this about you? Because I didn't have an intimate knowledge about your vagina.
I eat bell peppers, I shit my pants.
Right.
If Kelsey eats sugar, she has
a yeast
infection.
Okay, right. And he can tell my mood is off. He's like, you have a yeast infection, don't you? I'm like, sure do.
She's like pounding down cookies. And I'm like, kills me.
Yeah, he'll take them out of my hands because he knows how painful they are.
How much sugar are in these chips?
Not much.
I'm always thinking about
pussy in somehow a non-sexual way. I appreciate
you. It's a purely platonic
pussy.
Yeah.
purely platonic pussy love.
I wish every girl had that. PPPO. I wish every girl had a guy that cared about their vagina in a non-sexual way.
Do you guys not have PPPL in your life?
You gotta have
so
PPPL.
So supportive. Yeah. Wow, thanks, Zach.
I'm your unofficial gyno.
Well, let's not go that far.
Which, oh man, there's a great line in this movie where they're hurling insults back and forth, and Robin Williams goes, "Nearsighted gynecologist."
Yeah, so good.
He says, "Substitute chemist teacher."
Yeah, I love that one. So there's so many pleasures to begin. I just want to give first a salute to Mr. Robin Williams, the joy that you brought into our lives.
Yeah,
this movie, not with just as even one footnote in all the joy you brought to our childhood.
Have we not done a Robin Williams movie yet?
No.
Which feels crazy.
Yeah, shit makes me emotional. Because
nostalgia, literally definition of guilty pleasures is apparently nostalgia for this channel. And he was, I have to imagine, as important as the Jim Carreys of the... I don't know, who else? Who were the greats?
It's funny because he's incredible comedic actor, but in the beginning of this film he is very restrained, but still restrained in a way is so funny. When Tinkerbell first comes into his life,
he's like,
"It's finally happened. I'm having a nervous breakdown."
Yes.
And he's very subtle but hilarious.
Hysterical.
Him trying to keep a lid on it is very fun.
He yells at his kids. Yeah. He's villainous in a way. Yeah. Adults in this movie are villains. They're the pirates.
Yeah.
And he represents everything that's wrong with adulthood. Mm-hmm. He's overworked, undersexed, ignoring his kids.
Sure.
Very patriarchal standard. And it had me wondering, are families still like this? Are families still missing the father at the baseball game because he's doing lawyer things?
It was super funny watching because I was like, he's not that bad of a dad.
He's throwing a baseball in an airplane. He's like, stop that. I'm like, yo, kid Jack, you're being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You just drew a crayon drawing of the plane crashing into a fiery inferno and everyone gets a parachute, but your dad. You're kind of a piece of shit.
You need to go to a doctor.
The
mom is always either in a nightgown or a dress. I'm like, what is the mom's role?
Generic British mother.
Yes. Yeah. You just fulfill no purpose but to bear children.
She's always wearing a sleeping cap. Yes. Or
why are you always ready to go to bed,
sleeping
bitch?
Sleeping cap with the fucking candle.
I mean, I guess goals. Scrooge, getting big Scrooge energy. Yeah.
The lore of this movie is kind of insane so the story Peter Pan exists in this universe.
Yes.
Peter starts the movie watching a play of Peter Pan, which was written 80 years ago. Mm-hmm. And my first thought was how is he not having PTSD flashbacks?
Right.
Never land. But Maggie Grace, who they make look older in this film with beautiful makeup.
Yeah. Is that Professor McGonagall?
Sure is.
Wow.
Yeah.
She looked old as hell.
She looked old as hell.
She's already old. That's McGonagall.
Really?
Yeah. Wendy. Yeah. McGonagall.
So she is Wendy.
Yeah.
Darling.
And she is the Wendy. She had a whole childhood adventure with Peter.
Yeah.
And then Peter continues to visit her as she gets older. And then one day sees her granddaughter laying in bed and
Moira.
Goes, I'm going to give her a kiss. Uh-huh. A real kiss.
We gotta stop kissing bitches while they're sleeping, guys. We really gotta stop.
Hey, man, it was the fucking 90s, baby.
It's just not a good way to start a relationship.
It's a deeply weird scene. Yeah. And that
scene could have been lifted.
I think that represented that he wanted to become a father. It made sense when they explained it. Yeah. He stopped going to Never Everland when he was 15 or whatever age he was because he fell in love because he realized he wanted to be a father to a lost boy.
Yeah. This sleeping bitch is pretty cute.
Yeah, I want to fuck this chick. Yeah, it was a little weird the way they said it. But
And then Maggie Grace just watches.
And then
kiss my granddaughter.
The daughter's name is Maggie? The daughter's name is Maggie. Maggie and Jack.
Maggie and Jack.
So it's Wendy grew up to be an old woman who opened orphanages all over to help lost boys because she actually lived the experience. Mm-hmm. Then real Peter Pan comes back home as an adult, as Robin Williams, and she has to help him remember that he actually loves Peter Pan.
He came back as a child, as an adult, and then became an adult because he chose to grow up with this. With the granddaughter.
Right. When he came back, he doesn't remember that he's actually the Peter Pan.
So in the reading of this movie, if you were to do a semiotic reading of this film, love is evil.
Yes. Yeah.
Love makes you lose your childhood and you become an adult.
Isn't it though? Isn't that where your innocence is lost?
It's love is responsibility. I think that that's what it
is. Wow. Oh, that's
that
heavy.
Deep.
Which hurts. Which hurts.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I got to make
think
a phone
about
call.
It. Like, as soon as in
we're
high school,
over.
You yeah. realize, I like, oh, shit, I got to pretend to be cool all of a sudden, and I got to pretend to look interesting and yeah. grown up, and like you, that is really when you stop like being goofy.
Yeah,
he does have a very
hello, Maggie. It's me. We're breaking up so that I can go play with children.
Yeah, not creepy at all.
Yeah,
it's funny. I'm going back in time, but we were talking about how it was the 90s. Every yeah. movie in the 90s. Had a dad missing a baseball game.
Yeah.
Oh, every single one. Because everybody was trying to push baseball like it was this great sport to watch.
And, okay, and, but and are you going to let your kids play football?
Baseball?
Football?
No.
You're going to let them play baseball though, right?
I probably would.
Exactly.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You tell me you're gonna look me in the eyes and you're not gonna play catch with your son in the side yard.
You're, yeah. I will, yeah, but as long as it's anything but fucking football,
yeah,
that's
can't play football.
Yeah, I like the baseball agenda.
Baseball, you can play fucking soccer. Let them run around and kick the ball.
No, knees and ankles too important.
Knees are bad. Yeah, but like I don't like, baseball fucking sucks. I feel bad for all of the baseball heads out there that love it.
That listen to this podcast.
And that listen to this podcast and they're like, baseball is the greatest sport. It is very hard to hit a baseball, all that shit. It's probably the hardest thing to do in any sport.
You didn't play baseball?
I know how to play baseball.
You strike me as a ball player.
No, I didn't play anything.
Because of the way he can squat.
Have you seen his ass? That's why. Yeah. Guys, we just discovered that Garrick has a fucking donk, donk, donk. That donk, 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 donk.
Do you remember the way that Garrick reacted when he saw me with contacts on? That was when I saw Garrick's ass. I was like, holy shit,
he sits
beautiful.
He sits every week. We've never noticed that derriere. And
we're
going to
start doing standing podcasts where he's facing the opposite direction.
It's a thick booty.
I'm double cheeked up. That's it, unfortunately.
So you are aware of that ass.
So, yeah.
Has it ever been a problem?
It's never been a problem. It's never gotten in the way. It's always been behind.
Has it ever been an asset?
No.
No one's ever.
Sequoia likes it.
Yes. Yeah. Was she ever just like, ooh, that ass in the beginning?
No, but that was not a
wasn't a sales point.
Plot point in our relationship.
I was dead ass thinking of like adding her to that group chat where, yes, we did start a group chat talking about just your ass and being like, is this okay?
Yeah.
Do we have your consent to do this? Because we were really talking about it. It was
terrible.
An aggressive conversation about your dog.
It's not good.
You know that Ricky, Maggie, when she catches me changing and sees my butt, she laughs.
She screams and runs out the room.
Wait, why?
Because they
are so
flat
cute
and funny.
Oh,
they're
no.
So cute.
So little.
They're little.
She laughs at my anatomy.
It almost goes inward, you know? it was really a shock for us to see your ass.
To see butts? Yeah. Like, it's just a butt. It's no. just a butt. For whatever reason, I just see it as like more of a problem than like,
sir.
It's just like a muscle thing or whatever.
Sir.
Our butts it's, hanging out together is like George and Lenny. It could not be further apart from fucking the rabbits of my cement. Anyway, I was just trying to do
how did we get
big
so
guy,
deep?
Little guy.
I'm sorry. Back okay. to Hook.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of badonks, Gadonk. Julia Roberts as Tinkerbell.
what?
Bad segue.
I don't think we saw her ass once in this.
This is finally Hook gives us a Peter Pan movie that's horny as fuck.
Yeah.
This movie, you have Robin Williams underwater making out with mermaids.
Hot.
I rewinded to be like, what did I miss?
I think that
as
was a
children,
sexual
I thought they were kisses, but it was breathing water.
As a kid?
I think so. As a kid, that was a sexual awakening for me. I didn't know that kisses existed until I saw this movie.
Kisses.
There's a lot of kisses.
Yeah, there's a lot of kisses.
Kisses mean something different in Never Neverland, which I also thought it was Never Everland, and I found it today. It's Never Neverland. Mm. Otherwise, Never Ever. Never Ever Grow Up. Never Ever Grow Up.
Never, never grow up.
Yeah, I had that.
So those mermaids did it for you. They're hot.
Yeah, they were hot mermaids. And
they're
I was
sparkly.
Like, it's like, ooh.
It was magical.
Get a kiss underwater.
They were hot as shit.
Yeah, they were.
Robin Williams probably.
Have you ever tried to kiss underwater?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you ever tried to fuck in the water?
Ooh.
Yeah. I watched a BuzzFeed Debatable recently where Keith and I were on opposite ends of fucking in the shower.
Yeah, I'm in that one.
Or no, we were anti and you were pro. No, you were anti.
I was anti.
Because water and body fluids don't mix.
Friction.
It makes it. Miles, why are you nodding your head so aggressively all of a sudden?
Miles is like,
I was agreeing.
It took me by surprise. How
I agree.
No. Don't fuck in the water, guys.
I just have back pain.
On the contrary, fuck in the water.
No. Yeah. As all pained people here, you should not be.
But that's where I'm at my most relaxed in the showers.
What I want to be in, you know, those baby bouncies where they're like on springs. I want to be in that so that I like have no.
You don't have to move.
Like no friction on my joints.
Zero G sex.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
So it's like water sex, but without the water.
Yeah. Do you get an automatic boner in zero gravity?
Oh, shit.
Why?
Because where's your dick going?
I mean, you have, but you have blood.
Right?
No, it's filling it up.
You need blood flow.
We have to talk about the movie Hook.
I'm sorry. Okay.
We have, before the movie Hook, we need to have a lesson about anatomy.
We'll talk about this off the thread.
Yeah.
Can we talk about production design?
Sure.
I just feel like there's no way to even approach this without.
Yeah, that was.
What you said about we just have gotten fucking lazy.
So lazy.
If you pause one frame in this movie, it's like Where's Waldo?
Yes.
It is so magical, fantastical, physical, unbelievable, and huge.
The food fight scene was crazy. We'll do that later.
But Where the Lost Boys Live is so idyllic.
It's so beautiful. It's a treehouse. Fucking Avatar land house.
I mean, you didn't try to make a treehouse after that movie.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like a treehouse.
I was like looking for trees in our yard. We didn't have any trees, but like, I was just
treehouse with mine carts and skate ramps and
basketball hoops,
and swings,
and like,
you got fucking Zuko on a sailboard.
Yeah.
Sick as hell.
It looked like every kid's. It brought the kid out in me. As an adult, I was literally smiling at the TV.
I feel, same here. Yeah. I feel like throughout the whole thing, you're just. Like you were saying, you could pause it at most moments, and it's just like this weird, nice painting of like, look at how wonderful everything could be if you were even a pirate and you're on a ship and you get shot randomly, which is
happens a lot
happens.
Here in this movie.
Yeah, it happens. Like murder just fully happens.
Because he's Hook.
Also, now I'm like thinking back to them saying that it's fucking Spielberg on autopilot. Like just the detail of Hook's about to walk down steps and he goes, "Where's my red carpet?"
Yeah.
He goes, "Oh, so sorry." And he hits a and then the stair goes and it turns into a red carpet. Like that's fun and dope and it's tactical.
Like down to down to the literal like patterns they use. Like my most magical that I'm remembering is in Hook's pirate ship, like in his quarters.
Yes,
the bed literally comes down from the ceiling. He has a like warship table in the middle of his room. He has cakes and chicken legs, and it's like the fucking production design. It literally looked like they asked kids like 100 kids, you know, and then implemented every single thing.
You know what it felt like? It felt like a school play that was filmed.
Oh.
And that's like, I think that's
with a budget.
With a budget.
Million, it's multi-million
like Spielberg was like, all right, well, all of my movies, let's just, you know, have it be that feeling of like going. I mean, it starts off with a play, but like going to your kid's play or something like that.
It was just
like $100 million behind it.
Yeah.
So here is a theory that I have is that now we make movies that cater to kids, what kids like. But Spielberg understands what kids feel.
Ooh,
and so he makes movies that show us the emotions of a kid in every direction. So the wonderment, right? Like the way that the sets look in Hook, it's not just, oh, this is gonna, kids are gonna like watching this. Yeah. It's like, no, this is what a kid fucking imagines and dreams up. And this is what imagination looks like.
Yes.
And same with, we talked about how the beginning is scary.
Yes.
Kids won. Kids are scared.
I was terrified.
And they have deep emotions and pain. And there are few movies that understand the pain that kids feel. It makes me think of Where the Wild Things Are. But like when the tension in the beginning, when Hook is coming, first of all, you have like the hook-shaped window latch, which is dope. But the windows burst open.
Yeah.
The blankets fly off.
Like a fucking exorcism.
It bursts open.
It's Poltergeist.
They cover their face with like their blankets, which is the only security a child has.
Literally.
They don't have guns or any like a weapon or anything like that. No. They just have their fucking blanket. And then the blanket goes off.
That practical effect was the one where I was like, that was a little stiff.
Yeah. I thought it was sick.
That was some Sam Raimi shit.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah.
And green fog comes through the window with like sparkles and you're immediately exactly what you said. It's like the imagination to the umpteenth fucking degree.
That's what the monster under the bed felt like.
Yeah.
It has to be larger than life to capture that feeling.
Right. Yeah.
And I love that all of his kids movies don't shy away. I mean, kids movies in quotes, because all of his movies are, well, this is the most kids movie of his kids movies.
Is it?
I think so. Like E.T. feels a little more adult to me.
I won't talk about
But is also scary because kids get scared and they need to be scared. It's one of the emotions of life. And
scared of adults.
Yeah.
And that hook, man. I have such vivid fucking memories of that hook.
My God.
So shiny, getting rubbed up against a stone to be sharpened. Like
the
villain of Hook
in
this was way more fucking terrifying than Hook in Peter Pan or in the cartoon or anything. Like wild to think that you could see Dustin Hoffman. That was crazy.
Yeah. I still thought it was hilarious.
Oh my God.
I thought he was funny when
he was hysterical.
Child, and I thought he was funny now.
My favorite line from Hook is when he's going to unalive himself.
Yeah.
And he's like, you better not stop me, Smee. Smee, you better not stop me this time. Smee, come stop me. Come take that.
Stop me, Smee.
And then Smee takes it out of his hand and goes,
you better not stop me, Smee.
Don't ever fight me like that again. And then he goes, I'm so sorry, sir. Like, there's so much more to live for. Grand adventure. And he just mumbles, death is the greatest adventure. Only death is the greatest adventure.
So this version of Captain Hook is horny for death.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
has nothing
and
else
power.
Left. He's lived everything. He's done it all.
And
the only thing he hasn't done is
kill Peter Pan.
And or die.
And
himself.
Yeah. And that's like, that's sick. Like, I'm sorry. I feel bad saying it, but it's dark, but it's really cool to just.
I wish there were more of it.
Yeah. Think about like if this story were to progress and this person is just fighting children, why else would he want to be around? Like,
he's
done everything.
It goes back to like the psychology of this fucking movie is so much deeper than I think we realize, and that like he refuses to visit any of his trauma.
Yeah.
Like he refuses to see himself as traumatic.
They're also immortal. They don't age or anything like that. So he's just been stuck.
Time is really long.
Yeah.
In Never Now I don't know.
Neverland. Yeah.
Is infinite. So when you leave Neverland, it'll have been a day in Neverland, but then it'd have been years in real land.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're stuck as adults. All men. This movie's all about women saving men. Did you notice that? Wendy saving Peter. You got fucking
Tinkerbell
saving. You got Maggie saving all the pirates when she starts singing. This is just a movie about boys being too afraid to access their inner child.
Boys being little bitches and women saving the day.
I think it's also hilarious that the mermaids were giving him air when if you blow, you blow out carbon dioxide or not.
Maybe well, not mermaids.
They're fish people.
Yeah.
You don't know how their lungs work.
Explain that, Rick. Okay.
All right. All right. You got
me. You don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how.
I put a pause earlier on the food fight just because I think it deserves its own moment.
Its own segment.
It is truly one of the most glorious cinema moments.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's iconic. It's got to be iconic at this point.
If people don't know.
If people don't know, you are truly, I feel like, you should go out and watch this movie just for this scene.
Yes.
I agree.
I agree
because
too.
Because it is, as far as like set design, score.
Story, meaning,
all of that stuff.
Conflict.
It really just comes together in such a beautiful, messy way that gets like fucking crazy.
Jared really had nice. Never seen Hook before. And I last night.
He's a good kid.
Lost it. Yeah, too religious. And what? I lost my mind last night being like, I was like, wait. You've never seen Hook with Robin Williams? No. With the food fight? No. With Hook? No. Dustin Hoffman? No. And then he kept just being like, no, no, no. And so I played him just the food fight scene because that in itself encapsulates what the entire thing is about, which is the boys, the Lost Boys are sitting down for dinner. It's Robin Williams' first time eating dinner with the boys. And he smells this delicious food.
Well, there's nothing. There's nothing on the table.
Yeah, he smells it and he goes to the table and they've got all these pots and pans. And finally, they release open the pots and pans and there's nothing in there. And him as an adult brain is still going, what are they all eating? And all the kids are miming eating food and stuffing their face and eating a cheeseburger. And they say, you have to use your imagination. You can eat anything you want. You just have to believe. And then he starts to believe and he starts fighting with Rufio.
By way of hurling insults, which is that ain't the best way to find your inner child. I don't know what is.
He calls him a fart box. And then to add insult to injury, he flicks a spoon at Rufio's face and it's nothing. It's air. And then we cut to Rufio in a fluorescent splat of like mashed like potato-y frosting hits his face and this color palette, literally getting the chills, erupts on screen of bowls of rainbows.
Yeah.
And all the kids start getting face full of fucking pie rainbow mashed potato frosting. And it is every child's fucking dream. And when I brought up Hook to my friends in the group chat, everyone was bursting with the rainbow food fight.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the pan reveal of the suddenly magically full table
like
of food.
Like Harry Potter.
And as you said, I mean, you got big chicken legs, but like rainbow mashed potatoes. Nothing in cinema has ever looked more appetizing.
No, at all.
As a kid.
My inner stomach grumbles with lust over food I'll never be able to taste.
Yep.
Right.
No one will ever be able to recreate that.
There is a game that gets close. There's a game called Monster Hunter, and whenever these little cute-ass little cats, they're chefs, and they make food for you so that you can, like, heal up or whatever.
I want to look it up.
And they make a meal for you, and I'm like, I want to eat that real bad. It's a really cute cat.
What's it called? Monster Hunter?
Monster Hunter, yeah.
Monster Hunter Calico Cat.
Anyway, that whole scene truly made me hungry as a child. Yes. Every time I would watch it, I think I would take out plates from my parents' cupboards and like try to imagine good food.
The rainbow food.
Movies made me so lustful for a food fight as a kid and my whole life. And I wanted a food fight so bad.
Yeah.
And it's so impractical. It does not happen.
It happened at my high school.
I had one food fight.
Yeah. Everyone got suspended.
Yeah.
Everyone got suspended.
Yeah.
So we had a food fight that lasted maybe 10 seconds. It was like People start to throw immediately. We pushed the round table.
Oh
like
my
a
God, literally same.
Like a shield.
Yes.
Ducked behind it. And then one dumb motherfucker, I don't know who you are, but if you're listening, you fucking know that you're a piece of shit, threw a glass bottle that shattered against the wall. And then a lunch aide came in and went,
yeah. Oh, just like Peter Pan.
You guys had indoor.
We had indoor. Yeah, we're not indoor, California right. kids.
You ate outside?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Dog. Not in Florida. It was like raining. Sick. Our food fight was like.
Like a dog.
The way it started, like we had group text, like today's going to be the day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like we're going to fucking do it. And I think I was high. I remember I like got there late. I think his name was Andrew.
Of course,
like everyone's looking around, like who's gonna fucking do it? And we had spaghetti that day, and Andrew, I think, was the guy. He uncapped the Gatorade, and it was orange Gatorade, and he just fucking launches it across the lunchroom. And orange Gatorade was like a rainbow,
yeah. Beautiful.
And then it was the same thing. And then we had security guards at our school.
Oh,
because. Florida. Yeah. Public school.
Yeah, we've seen Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, you know. We got a lot of handcuffed.
Oh.
And someone got hit in the head with something that had to get stitches.
Oh my God.
It was
throw mashed potatoes.
Yeah, throw soft stuff.
Colorful mashed potatoes.
I have a food fight story as well. Ooh. We're outside, so we eat outside like animals, like you were saying.
No, it's cool.
There's like there's a giant quad in the middle of like where a lot of people ate. Nobody really ate in the middle of the quad.
Sure.
It was just like steps on one side and then the lunch tables on the other side of this large quad. But like on the other side, the lacrosse players
would
hang out.
I guess
they were cool. Not really. No. They just had their sticks all the time, and they would always like throw shit to each other, like cornballs or future rapists. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's so good. Leave that in, Miles. You know who you are.
So like, one of them put like chocolate milk in his lacrosse
stick
racket thing. And
funny.
Threw it across the quad, and
damn.
You just—it literally felt like the next movie we're about to watch or talk about with the arrows, like just coming down.
Chocolate milk will blot out the sun,
and we'll fight in the shade. But like, it just came down and then hit somebody else on the other side, and then we just started chugging it.
We all had that is so rare. I feel like not everyone has had a food fight experience. Yeah.
We will move on, but one little final detail. My good buddy Alex G, he didn't get to throw anything in the food fight because it ended so, and he was pissed. So we're leaving the lunchroom. He just goes like, "Oh man!" And he like throws a water bottle up in the air and catches it because he's just pissed. And no one got in trouble except for him. They're like, "You," because they were just he was the only one that they actually saw do anything. Poor Alex.
Damn.
R.I.P. Alex.
Rufio.
Rufio. Zuko himself. Rufio.
No one, I don't think any character has ever been cooler.
No.
Like, fuck.
I was so sad when every time he dies, I get so fucking upset.
Yeah.
It's rude.
Even though it starts off with him, not being the nicest guy to the lead.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, this is a new villain. This is a new hurdle that he needs to, jump over.
But you see why.
He's like, I was the lead guy for like a little while. I had your sword. Gets a sword back, gets to respect the Rufio, all that stuff. He's in the final battle. He's trying to save Rufio from this situation. He's like, no, this is for me. Leave it alone. And then he goes and puts Maggie somewhere else, his daughter, and then comes back. And then Rufio is dead. Like, just in his, he just gets killed by Hook. And it's just so fucking devastating because you're like, man, he just turned over a new leaf. They just became friends.
You don't see a kid die yet either. This is the only kid.
And I think that's also what's kind of disturbing because usually a lot of movies stay away from child death.
Yeah.
They don't show it ever any other time. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the first times as a child you're seeing that children can die.
No!
And you're like,
so
oh,
right.
God.
You're right.
Oh,
he's like
fuck.
A teen, though. I remember thinking he was definitely a teen.
Yeah, but he was like 14.
In my brain, he was 20, he was much older than the littlest one. But he was the red mohawk, iconic.
Everyone wanted to be Rufio.
Everybody.
I don't know if you didn't want to be, you're lying.
Yeah. I didn't.
You wanted to fuck him.
No, I don't know. He's scared. I was intimidated by authority figures.
Okay.
Anyways, this movie's bringing out a lot of psychology, I'm telling you. But yeah, like he represented shame. He represented jealousy. He represented embarrassment.
Yeah.
Power dynamic struggle. Showing that like you can share and get along with your enemy. It's a good kids movie.
You are
good
digging deep into this.
How could you not?
It really does like teach you a lot of stuff.
Yeah, like you got to share. Yeah. You got to use your imagination. Yeah. Think happy thoughts.
Yeah, to get over bad times, I guess. Or
whatever. Yeah, then Prozac was invented, and then we started using CGI. Think that's an accident?
No. You know what? Other thing, like just talking about like the visual aspects of it. I feel like in this era of filmmaking, whatever cameras they were using, everything had like this natural bloom effect over it. And I don't know if that is a lack of detail or whatever, but that made it seem more imaginary.
Dreamy.
And more dreamy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like the filter.
The maybe sharpness it was, a filter was lens. Down.
It's the softness of film, I think.
Was it on film?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it must have been. Yeah, 91.
They only started shooting with digital movies in 2010.
But problem, right? Because like imagine trying to pick up all that detail now on a digital camera. Like, how would that look?
If you really want to get nerdy with it.
Yeah, I think so.
Film grain is differently shaped than pixels. So film is like, it's like these like interlocking almost T shapes, like little bendies.
Yeah.
And they interlock. And so versus pixels on digital are dot, 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 dot. And there's something about that look that is just soft. It just is very pleasing. And digital has gotten very incredible at replicating it, getting close to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, film is a tactile thing.
Do you hear people say you can't recreate film look with digital, and I feel like you can. Do you think Miles is nodding his head? And I
Miles
trust him
like,
more than
yeah,
anyone.
You can 100%.
It's really tough. Like, yeah. And often it looks bad when people do it.
Mm.
But also now, like, it's gotten so much better. There are less reasons. Mm-hmm. There are still some reasons to shoot on film, but for a lot of movies, it just doesn't make sense.
That's so expensive.
I think that's what, again, I mean, I believe Euphoria was shot on film. The second season.
They brought it back. Kodak did, right? Yeah, we learned that fun fact tonight. You weren't here.
I'm sorry.
Where were you?
In Ontario?
Why were you in Ontario?
He was being a star.
Yeah, it was not being a star.
With that fat ass.
Driving.
This feels wrong, because if you said that to me, I'd be like, thank you, but I don't know how you're accepting your fat assery. Do you want me to stop? Should I stop commenting on your cakes?
I mean, it's fine. I just don't know.
Accept a compliment.
Accept it.
Well, it's toned, though. It's not just fat.
No. It's very, it's a shelf,
it's
my
toned,
friend.
Yeah.
You're putting a teacup on that thing. Sorry.
Great point.
Stop. If you said this to me, though, I'd be like, yes, thank you.
But
if it was a different
woman.
You keep
asking us to compliment your ass, we're not going to.
Come on, guys, compliment my tutor.
You wish. You wish you had what
my
G was
pooper.
Rocking.
Tutor. My tutor, my pooper. I want to know how great it is.
That's what you call it? Your tutor?
Yeah, I say, fuck my tutor.
I didn't even.
Guys, we're talking about Hook, a beloved children's film. Thanks for joining us on this podcast. America's sweetheart, Julia Roberts.
Let me get in that
hot
pooper.
Off of Pretty Woman, Mystic Pizza.
Oh, was
she
it?
Is, yeah, I mean, she at this point is blowing up as one of the biggest stars on the planet.
Yeah.
She looks very young.
She is young. I mean, this is 91. She is just in the beginning of her film career.
Mm.
But she is delightful as Tinkerbell. She's so innocent. She's so cute. She's very playful and zany in a way that you don't get to see Julia Roberts play almost ever.
Yeah.
She's got this fun short pixie cut. She's a little pixie.
She's a pixie.
A little pixie. I mean, she is in many ways the heart of the film. For the beginning, when Robin Williams is refusing his call as Peter, she
good old Petey Pan.
Well, good old Petey. She is the one pulling the strings, mm-hmm. pulling him by the cuff.
The collar.
I do need to address what is
one
of the more memorable, erotic, sad,
mm-hmm.
and straight up. Fucking bizarre scenes in any children's movie.
Thank you.
For some reason, this scene is burned into my childhood memory.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder what that's going to be like watching it as an adult. Maybe it'll make more. No, makes less sense.
Yeah.
Tinkerbell, mm-hmm. is a little thing. You guys know Tinkerbell.
She fits in a dollhouse.
She's the little one. Robin Williams makes a lot of comments throughout the movie about how beautiful she is.
Got great legs, he says.
Yeah, she's tiny. Yeah. It's like, I don't know how you see in those little fucking legs.
He calls her a bug. Yeah, a lot.
She's tiny.
The lightning bug from hell.
Which is good. So for whatever reason, in one scene, Tinkerbell becomes life-size.
Yeah. We don't know why.
She says that it's the first time she's made a wish for herself, and she wanted it bad enough that she became life-size.
Cinderella.
So that she could give Peter a kiss.
Wait, yeah. A real kiss.
A real kiss.
Like a tongue kiss.
Yeah.
And so... Tinkerbell, which, look, guys, I know we've all been thinking it. I want to see Peter and Tinkerbell fuck. We all have been thinking it. We all throughout childhood were like, oh, the sexual tension confusing. Between Peter Pan and Tinkerbell. It is insatiable. I can't get enough.
It's still to this day, from the beginning of the first time I watched it to now, I'm just like, I guess this works.
She like kisses him passionately.
Passionately.
And he says... more, and she thinks he means more kiss, so she goes to kiss again, and he goes, Moira, but I love Moira. And you're like, did you just like brain injure him when you kissed him?
No, he's
like,
forgetting things
and remember at that, point, that he doesn't remember because he doesn't have the family
at this point in the film,
so adultery caused him to remember.
Yeah.
Like, that made no sense.
Yeah, he refound his way into Peter, and then in being Peter, he forgot being an adult.
Yeah.
And then being a kiss, the kiss shook it.
Again, relationships pull you out of.
Yeah. Do you think, by the way, that they wrote that Moira joke and then they're like, all right, I guess she's named Moira.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
How much did Robin Williams, like, you think improv in this?
Oh,
the whole kiss 90%. Scene was improv, actually.
It was?
No.
I was like, no wonder it doesn't make any fucking sense.
It's
got to
be a bunch. That was his thing.
So besides being, like, really weird of a scene, it's also really sad.
Yeah, because she's...
Because she loves Peter.
Like, she says, I love you, Peter.
And then he immediately is like, I got to go get my boring wife back.
And we never address it again.
It's like, I'm sorry, you're not British. I need beans and toast.
You're not a human. You're a fucking fairy.
Yeah, I don't believe in fairies.
I thought that she was also a little bit like androgynous, but who knows?
I
thought she was androgynous.
Wishful
as well.
Thinking.
Let's do the thing that only this podcast would do.
Yeah.
Out of the bounds of...
Talk about Kelsey's vagina?
That's not out of the bounds.
Let's go out of the bounds of this film. And say that if you have a chance to fuck a pixie,
you fuck her.
You fuck a pixie.
You fuck a fairy.
You fuck a fairy.
But you're also in a land where pirates. Like, I'd want to fuck a pirate. I'd want to, you know, try it all.
The pirates were all hilarious.
Yeah,
you would fuck the pirates in this movie,
dude. You're gonna tell me if you got a chance to fuck a pirate, you're not going to?
I don't think I would. They're notoriously smelly and dirty.
Yeah,
a magical pirate.
First of all, no one said they're magical.
I did.
Well, but pirates aren't magical.
A fairy's magical.
Yes.
Okay, well,
pirates aren't magical.
Never ever land pirates are. Aren't they?
What is their magic?
Yeah, they don't have magic. They just don't age.
Yeah, that's magical.
They just have crusty, unwashed dicks.
Yeah. Nah, you're fucking I'm sorry, you're
they
fucking
they got barnacles on their crotch.
Not true.
Yeah.
Prove it.
Name me one hot pirate. I know one.
Jason Momoa.
Is Jason Momoa a pirate?
Yes, he's a pirate.
Okay.
100%
yeah. Am I going to get canceled for saying Johnny Depp is a pirate? Orlando Bloom. Keira Knightley.
Orlando Bloom is, they're the hot ones. Okay. Yeah. I would fuck them. But.
How did we get here? You're going to fuck
Dustin Hoffman with his like mustache wax that would get all over my.
It wasn't even mustache wax. It was ear wax.
Oh.
From Shmee.
That's what wax.
Oh, you just brought up a memory. I think Shmee and Hook are fucking.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Do you remember when he straddles him over his mirror bed moment when he's having an existential crisis and Shmee like straddles him? And I was like, whoa.
That's when he does the earwax thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think they fucking.
All pirates great are actors know that you need an objective in a scene. And often the objective of like, we're secretly in love, playing that is going to make the scene more interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and say that most of your favorite movies, they're gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all gay.
Yeah.
Every movie's gay.
Just a little gay.
If it's good acting, it's gay.
It's gay.
I like that. Anyways, so back to fucking Tinkerbell. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I thought so.
Yeah, I'm not saying that she's like, I'm not trying to objectify her. I'm just saying like, if she were magical.
Right.
I would do it.
And then he would probably forget about it and then be like, I mean, I don't know. That was Never Neverland.
Yeah, that was wild.
What
happened. Like Vegas.
What happens in Never Neverland? And
it literally never stays ever. In Never Neverland.
Literally. Wait, but what happens with Tink at the end?
I fucking know. Who fuck if I know?
I mean, she comes back to Earth and she's like, I remember, this is a quote that is burned in my memory yeah. that I'm also like blanking on. Blah, 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 Peter. The gap in between waking up and falling asleep when you still remember dreams, that's where I'll still love you.
Oh,
I remember that.
I forgot.
Yeah.
God, why is it so tragic? Why did they do that?
We need a Tink redemption story.
Yeah.
And call it Twink, and it's gay.
It's gay. It's very gay.
She is androgynous. It's a little gay. It's gay. It's gay.
The ending of this movie. Deeply confusing. So, because he comes back to the world, okay, Peter is a boy and he has the whimsy of a child again, but he's an adult. Hooray.
Brad, you've been holding for this long? Great bit. Sorry.
Yeah, he picks up the cell phone. The guy's still on.
Yes.
But he wakes up under the statue and sees Bob Hoskins, who plays Smee, in the real world, like raking his front lawn.
Yeah.
And is like, had a bit too much to drink, eh? Or something. Mm. And so you're like, the fuck? This was all a dream? And then Tinkerbell's there.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a dream.
No, because they do exist in the real world.
What are you talking about?
As adults.
What are you talking about?
But their adults are pirates in Never Everland.
But what are they doing in Never Neverland?
They're stuck there. They're stuck.
Isn't the whole thing is that they are like dreams or something like that?
Is that the thing?
It's I don't a know about in book, this movie. Technically.
Yeah, it's like they're in a story and it's just... After telling these kids these stories, they would fall asleep and imagine this in their dreams.
Yes.
Is this canon?
And then they write it down in the book, and that's why they had the book of Peter Pan. It's because it was like, we were writing down our dreams, but it was real adventures. They talk about it.
Don't talk to me as if this is obvious.
No, it's not obvious. It's not obvious.
He said the neighbors wrote down our kids' dream. Like, yeah, he wrote down, that's why we have the book.
I thought that was a cover for the fact that it was real.
No, but because you do the North Star and shoot till morning.
But then Marbles Man fucking flies at the end.
That's fair.
Well, that's because it is a real place in your dreams.
So then if it's real, what is Bob Hoskins doing in the real world?
Because he's not awoke to his inner child. When he is, he's back in Never Everland.
I
think both versions exist.
So in Bob Hoskins' dreams, he's a pirate trying to kill kids and battle with his
inner demons.
He's not trying to kill kids. He's looking after Shmee. That's all I know.
He's looking after Shmee. What about the crocodile clock that?
What was
makes
that?
Him disappear?
What was that about? Because the crocodile was stuffed
and dead.
But
the magic collapsed on him, and then he disintegrated.
I guess he like got eaten by. They're trying to say he got eaten by the crocodile, but
then the crocodile's mouth moves and it farts.
It burps.
It burps. Yeah.
But then isn't there like a lingering sense that he's still alive somewhere? Like the something ticks or something. Does anyone remember?
Was there a post-credit scene?
No.
Like clocks or something?
I don't think so.
I want to talk to you about the Never Neverland initiative.
I just saw a note in my phone that I forgot. We forgot to mention that Gwyneth Paltrow is in this movie.
Yeah.
As like a shocking cameo.
Young Wendy.
That was pretty good. I thought it was really funny that he only remembered to fly... Peter only remembered to fly when he remembered that he was a zaddy. Also, the origin story of how Peter Pan became a fucking orphan.
Oh, that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
He rolled off a cliff in his bassinet and everyone was just like, I guess he's missing and an orphan now.
Right. And then Tinkerbell stole him.
Yes. It was
Peter
a kidnapping.
Peter Pan is he's a kidnapped child.
Like his family is out there somewhere.
Yeah.
So Tinkerbell groomed Peter.
Can you make that the title of this episode?
Oh, no.
Hook.
My favorite moment that we haven't talked about, and I just want to bring it up.
Tinkerbell wants to fuck your boys.
I'm sorry. My favorite moment that I just want to bring up, because I have referenced this in so many of our episodes, it's probably my most quoted thing in any Guilty Pleasures episode, is probably my favorite moment of this movie, where the little boy's down on Peter's face and he's touching his face. Takes off his glasses and then he goes, "Oh, there you are, Peter."
That
his
was
smile.
The cutest little child.
That was
so fucking cute.
Oh my god. Him and what's his name? Tumble or
I don't know
any of their names.
The chubby one.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Thud. Is it Thud?
That's so funny.
Was it Bud?
At one point, I thought they literally called him fat. And I'm like, that can't be.
There was a lot of fat phobia towards one child in this movie that made me upset. But again, I was trying to ignore it. But we shouldn't. We should call out our mistakes. He sits on a bench and like six kids launch off the other side.
Yeah.
They call Robin Williams fat. And then he goes, he's not fat to me. And then it's a little sad. We could have been more accepting of that, that child's figure. Reddit says the reason why the custodians at the end is because they want you to think it was all a dream.
Yeah, that's it. Which I think he imagined him. Is my guess.
Mm.
That he was like in between that waking moment of him being asleep and
like coming out of anesthesia or ketamine if you've tried it.
Yeah, his name was Thud. His name was Thud Butt.
Oh yeah, that's right, because his big block of cheese said Thud Butt on it.
Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, so he was eating a block of cheese, not a hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I got some fun facts for
you. Fucking wait.
One, this is a pretty well-known fun fact, but you got some cameos from George Lucas and Carrie Fisher.
What?
They are a couple kissing on the bridge. Float when the little fairy dust comes
up.
Wait,
you can't even see them. They're like a mile away.
I don't know. I noticed this while I was watching it. I don't know if you guys saw. Glenn Close is in this film.
Where?
As a male pirate.
Oh.
What?
So Glenn Close came to visit on set and is friends with Dustin Hoffman, and Steven's like, "You want a cameo?" And she's like, "All right." I don't know if that's what she's not British like that.
No.
And it's the scene where when Peter first gets to Never Never Land, he's dressed pretty shittily as a pirate, and he's like, "One of you don't fit. Not you."
Glenn
fucking Close.
I was looking at it. I was like,
the one
this
who goes in
woman.
The box, which was also a childhood fucking nightmare. Yep. They put this pirate in a chest and
Albert
then put
Knox
scorpions
himself.
In it.
That's when I figured that Dustin Hoffman is one of the greatest actors of all time. Is him walking over. He's like, boo.
Get out of my way.
The boo box.
The boo box.
No. The boo box.
You made a boo boo.
The boo boo.
Not the boo box.
The boo box. That's the boo box.
I'm glad you put some respect on the name of Dustin Hoffman, because one of the greatest actors of all time, because we only have an hour and I don't know that we fully
top tier voice also.
Meet the Fockers, right?
Okay. Oh my fucking God.
I wouldn't start Jesus with that Christ. As one of
that
his.
That was the most angry I've seen Rick.
No, I'm not angry. I feel like the Meet the series as a whole, the Meet the Universe
it's
is top
fucking
tier.
Fantastic.
Comedy.
Okay, great.
And
we should
top
do
tier
it.
Films.
Okay, meet great.
Nobody even talks about that.
All right, we'll do it.
He's like, "Oh, meet the parents? What are you, fucking losers?" It's like, bitch, this. I'll beat your ass.
Didn't they switch
meet
wives?
I watched Meet the Fockers with my dad 7 times a summer.
Jeez, that's
well,
a
I
lot.
Know what we're doing in a couple weeks.
Oh,
yep.
God.
Well, Dustin Hoffman was not the first choice for this role.
No way.
Come on, Spielberg. What the fuck? Get on your game.
I'm
going
to tell you, with both of these casting decisions, Steven Spielberg envisioned a very different movie.
No.
And I want to go ahead and say, Steven, we're on a first name basis.
Oh.
I love you. I adore you. This first casting choice, I think, is pretty fun. But you were wrong.
Joaquin Phoenix.
The first, he wanted David Bowie, who turned down the role. David Bowie turned down the role of Captain Hook. I could see it, but he's not as good an actor.
He's not going to be as whimsical.
No. Nah.
What? David Bowie wouldn't be as whimsical?
No.
He just doesn't have.
He is whimsy.
I know,
but he's not. Like,
look,
he's
I am one of the biggest David Bowie fans on the planet.
Yeah, your dog's
literally
name is Bowie.
I
am obsessed with his music, but I just, you know, Dustin Hoffman, man, you can't beat that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, well, I'm going to do you one way worse because Spielberg's first choice for Peter Pan was not Robin Williams.
How could you possibly say that? Could we even guess who it would be?
You'll
Paul
be
Walker. Vin Diesel.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Michael Jackson was his first, reportedly the first choice. And everyone has a stunned silence. Garrick has taken his headphones off and pushed the microphone away. Miles has his hands covering his face. His face is red.
Wait.
Kelsey's touching her temples.
I got an instant headache. Hold on. I need context. I need some context.
Well, Michael Jackson was the biggest star on the planet.
Neverland that Michael Jackson made?
Okay, this movie deserved a 26%. If that is the case, then yeah, just throw everything out the window. The fact that you thought that Michael Jackson was
could even
come
close. The range.
What was 1990 Michael? I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, where were we on the spectrum?
Color was 1990
the
Michael?
Literal color.
That's what
spectrum.
I'm wondering. Like, when was Thriller was 80s?
Jesus Christ.
And what,
it doesn't matter.
It makes me second guess Steven Spielberg as like a
as
creator.
A casting person. Or I'm like
your vision.
Yeah, he really wanted to just throw this out the window.
It makes me be like, who actually was in charge? Because
yeah,
there's no way.
I get the idea that Michael Jackson loved Peter Pan and loved Never Growing Up and all of that stuff. And
just so you guys know,
he's not an actor.
No,
let me fact check this. I'm pretty sure 1991 was the black or white era of Michael Jackson. Yeah, so he looked fucking freaky at that point.
As white as possible.
Michael Jackson would have taken that so literally. Like it wouldn't be a comedy.
I mean, he did for the rest of his life.
Oh no! He did end up being Peter Pan.
So yeah. Was not the Peter Pan that Jackson had envisioned. And Vanity Fair reported in 2003...
oh no.
That Michael Jackson had paid a witch doctor to put a curse on Spielberg, among others, perhaps for some lingering resentment.
He so, put a curse on them?
Steven Spielberg, you have Michael Jackson to thank for your Best Director loss on Munich.
Well, there it is. Well, you got it with West Side Story.
So no, he didn't. Well, he didn't win.
Happened. Oh, it didn't.
Oh,
he hasn't won shit, man. Because
people
take him for granted.
Yeah, I think
people take Steven for granted. They go, "Of course, it's a well-directed movie. Steven's built. I mean, you know, is it that impressive?
Let's give
him the power of the dog."
I'm sorry, he's never won an Oscar.
No, he has. He just hasn't won since Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, okay, never mind. I was about to say, like,
have they?
Have I got that right? How many Oscars? I feel like he's only won the one. Let's see, Saving Private Ryan. No, Schindler's List.
Okay.
Oh,
well, he's got enough.
Saving Private Ryan did not win Best Picture because it lost to Shakespeare in Love.
How do you remember this shit?
Because I'm broken.
Oh, he's been nominated dozens and dozens.
But has he only won once?
Yeah, he would Best Director for Schindler's List, Best Director for Saving Private Ryan.
Okay.
Best Picture, Schindler's List.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, he's won enough. There you go.
But he hasn't.
Yeah,
he hasn't.
He's done so many really good things. That's fair. But you got it. Like, I feel... How many directors... have gotten like more than two Oscars? Like, that's got to be very rare company.
I mean, Scorsese only finally won his one for Departed.
Yeah.
Okay.
They've tried to remake like Pan-esque movies, right? Like, there was one in Sundance like 2 years ago called Wendy. Yeah. There was Pan.
People love that story.
There was, but nothing compares to Hook. Correct.
No.
Right? This is the greatest.
I mean, they
there ever
did
was.
A Peter Pan movie, like a legit Peter Pan movie with
live
CGI
action?
And shit. Yeah.
What? Who?
It was just called Pan.
Oh no, that was still a kid though. It was a kid as Pan, right?
Yeah.
And didn't they do a TV show? Point is, this is the greatest of all time, right? This is the GOAT. Okay.
Well, gang, we have to decide, is this film a pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty? I can start.
Yeah, you start.
I'm going to go ahead and say that we talked about a lot of the stuff that we love in this film, and there is a lot to love. We didn't talk about the stuff that I fucking hate.
We have no time.
I hate the kid.
The son?
I hate every scene with the son.
I love
learning
him.
To be a pirate. I think this movie's too long.
No.
And it's good.
So.
And I think it's fine to watch it, but there's a little bit of guilt. And that's where I'm going to leave it. But it's a guilty pleasure. It's a pledge.
Interesting.
Yeah. On the contrary.
Au contraire.
I think Jack is one of the better actors
I've ever seen in my life.
You know what's funny? We had a totally... So we talked about this right before the podcast started and we didn't say it. I think that the first half of the movie is the best.
I forgot.
Up until like the whole beginning... Up until the food fight scene, I'm like, that is a perfect film. And I do love that at the end you get like the swashbuckling fight and all that, but I'm just like, I get it. I'm over it.
No.
I get a little bit of the sugar.
I forgot that there was so much adultness to this movie. Yeah. My brain was so cored in on the childhood whimsy treehouse stuff that it was a shock to me watching it, like how much regular world there is in this movie. And I thought... I was shook when I saw it was 2 hours and 22 minutes because in 1991, that's a long ass movie.
Yeah.
I think it could have been longer. I would have watched more.
Yeah.
You want the Batman of Hook.
Yes.
Sure.
Absolutely. Something in the I'm an adult now.
Peter Pan. I don't know what's happening, but I give it a pleasure. Full pleasure. Yeah. Full send, full pleasure. Full no pleasure. Guilt included.
Full pleasure.
If you like, if you're a cinephile, you're going to fucking love this movie.
Yeah, full pleasure. If this movie came out now, people would lose their goddamn mind.
I was kind of likening it to the way I felt about seeing Harry Potter for the first time.
Yeah.
Where like, I know the story, but seeing it on screen in its greatest detail was like a Christmas present.
It does feel like a Christmas movie.
It feels like Christmas.
Yeah. It does feel like a Christmas, Christmas movie.
It is Christmas. Is it a Christmas movie?
Yes.
To be determined.
To be, we'll say sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, like, Steven Spielberg on his worst day is better than all y'all scrubs.
Yeah.
So show some goddamn respect.
Yeah, go watch this movie. Go put it in your repertoire.
Let us know what you think and yell at me for daring to say that your childhood fave has some flaws. I can take it.
I won't.
I'm at Corden Diddy on all the things.
I'm at Kelsey Darrow on all the things.
I'm Garrick Bernard on all the things.
Wow. And until next time.
Shout it on my last boys. We rowdy. Shout it on my last boys. Bang, rang. We got to play that. Yeah, I'm playing.